woman says she's gonna give you something.
You'll never just get it. They're gonna push all your buttons. Mm-hmm. And you're like, bitch, won't you just get it?
Well, what's the point of paying your bills if we can't push the button? Isn't that the point?
Welcome to the Sunday Scoop, brought to you by Chocolate Sundays Comedy Show. We're here. I'm your co-host, Richie Rich, joined by Lonnie, a.k.a. the janitor of Chocolate Sundays, Brandon Cormell, soon to be, like, consistent host of Chocolate Sundays, First Impressions, and possibly the main show, right?
Yeah.
What?
Wow.
I like how you set me up like that. I was following at first, but I'm like, all right, now it's a joke. Okay, apparently it's a joke.
Why the surprise face?
You are.
Well, I know why.
She said, messed up.
No, Brandon is an amazing comic, stand-up comedian, social median as well, right?
I guess so. I am now.
Perfect. And an amazing co-host as well on the show. So thank you, Brandon.
Thank you.
So Brandon believes in splitting checks when we go to dinner. And last but not least, we have Henry Coleman in the building.
Our special guest, Henry.
Welcome to the show, man. Henry, who has given the world gems from his sets like Married Women Cheat Too or Single Mothers Are Better Than Single Women.
Yeah.
His first television debut was on the TV series Games Master, in which he became the Golden Games Master Street Fighter II champion.
Okay.
Most recently,
I love how Henry sounds like he sounds like you're talking about somebody different.
Okay, no, keep going. Well, all right, that makes sense. Most recently, his comedic talents were featured on All Deaf Comedy, the series on HBO.
Yeah.
Check out episode 5. And one random fact about him: he has all 11 pictures and clips in total on IG. Not one caption, not one bio. We literally had to double check to make sure it wasn't a spam account.
It's down to 6.
It's down to 6. You deleted them. Okay. Yeah. Welcome to the show. Welcome to Sunday Scoop. Henry Coleman, here, ladies and gentlemen.
Why don't you have any clips up?
Why do I have clips up?
Why don't you have any clips up?
Like, what you mean? What you mean clips up?
Didn't you just say there's 6 on there?
6. They're my stand-up clips that I have on there.
Okay, all what, 6. Where's the rest of your posts?
Like, I mean, posts about what?
I mean...
Like, make it make sense to me.
You make it make sense. Yeah, I mean, I don't...
You talking about 6 posts. Like, how many posts are you required to have?
I mean, most people, comedians, that's crazy. Have like, thousands.
I literally get bored and kind of like, I don't like to see my old thoughts. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you look at my phone, I delete a lot of stuff. I just don't like to see it.
So you just cause destruction and then I just leave the scene.
Like, I just post what I want people to see, and then when I'm tired of them seeing it or me seeing it, I just delete it. Like, it's like... You know what I'm saying?
Okay, but aren't you trying to build your brand? Or?
I mean, he's just leaving no tracks.
I mean, I tried when I was doing my social media, I tried to do what everybody else was doing at first, which was to make the funny videos. I did voiceover videos. I did the split screen opinion videos. It's like every time I would post a video with my face on it, I would lose followers.
Oh.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, anytime.
You're an attractive guy. I mean.
I'm not going to say that.
I mean, I don't know if IG thinks so.
I'm just saying. I would lose.
Like, who is this ugly nigga on my timeline?
Like, so, like, people will comment, like, you should do these videos. Every time, like, if I just put, like, a clip up and just put, like, my thoughts on it, like, no more than 2 or 3 sentences, then, like, I'll add followers and people will come. But if I do like a something where I talk about something, I would lose followers. So anything other than stand up is like people's like they just kind of told me through that, you know, what was going on. Like, we just don't want to see it. Damn. So I just post my stand up clips and that's it. That's the only thing that seems to get a positive reaction. Everything else seems to get like negative reactions. And I get tired of arguing with people other than memes. And memes aren't me. It's like memes are just like, oh,
which
just
you find funny.
Yeah. 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 It's like, but it's not me. So it doesn't. I don't get bookers don't hit me up about the only thing that equals work to me is when I get clips and then people see the clips and then they go, oh, how much is it to get you to Colorado? How much is it to get you to Tallahassee? That's the only, what you see is what garners me work. Nothing else gets me work or attention. So I don't post anything else.
I'm trying to feel sad a little bit. something about that just feels bad.
I want you to be able to put your face on social media.
I mean, it doesn't equal work. It doesn't like... People end up being argumentative and going back and forth. And,
what are they arguing about?
On my
he is the most a toxic person in the world. What do you mean? What are they arguing about?
I want to hear.
Have you seen Henry's stand up?
I have.
So, I mean, so I end up like, I don't want to be an activist or an advocate. Mm. I just want to be funny. So when somebody don't get the joke and they don't get my point of view and they arguing under my things and going, going back. Anytime you have a logical reaction to me, then I just assume you don't think I'm funny. Right. Mm. So like, why am I going to explain to you when you should just be laughing? You know what I'm saying? If I'm explaining it, then it wasn't funny. So I just delete it and move forward.
Okay, but so I think social media is really now a tool for comedians. Yeah. It's a tool to build your brand and, you know, get the views out there. So so if you treat it like that, then you want the argument because then it gets engagement to your video.
I mean, but I was getting reported and I was getting, where they was doing a little
thing.
They
were snitching on you?
You know, when you log in and go, this violates the...
the terms and community, our community guidelines.
That's what we get.
I got those couple of those warnings from Zuckerberg. It was like, one more and then you're out of here. And it wasn't even cursing. It wasn't even work. It was just like, I'm like, so who's hating this that much?
Yeah.
What I say gets such a visceral reaction. Like, she kind of coached me on this, but I'm having to learn how to clean up my verbiage just so, because you're going to hate what I say anyway. So it's to my best interest to take the pussy out. You know what I'm saying? Because even when I do, you're still going to hate what I say just because of the way I communicate and, you know, how I get my messages across. I communicate in a way of what you call break fixing. You know, like when you go, you get your arm broken, you go to the doctor will break it again, but the right way. Right? That's how I communicate in a way where you just feel broken.
But then you feel better.
At the end.
Yeah.
A couple months later.
Give an example.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for one.
When did you find that was your style of comedy? Did you stumble into it, or has it always been that way?
It's like if you watch I did Laughs on Fox. I did a lot of clean stuff. And I just wasn't getting a lot of attention doing that. And black people was like, that's corny. And I would go up in front of black people every night. And that's corny. And they kind of laugh with that little, you know, kind of.
So you started as a clean comedian.
Yeah, white. My first 10 years was all white.
No, and I asked him to do a charity show we're doing in a couple weeks. Yeah, so, and I said, it doesn't need to be clean, but kind of, can you do that? And he's like, yeah, I can do clean. I was like,
what?
What?
Yeah. So, you know, just like everybody every night, they was like, that's corny. I was like, oh, so you want me to be real? Sure.
So then I walked up there.
Everybody in the crowd.
Fuck these bitches.
God, Jesus Christ.
So they're like, but that's too far. So
no middle ground?
No, but they weren't paying to see either one. You know what I'm saying? Mm. People weren't paying me to do clean comedy. They weren't, you know, paying me to do edgy. So I got to the point, I was like, I'm pretty much financing myself through whatever means to keep doing this. What do I enjoy doing? So I enjoy mixing kind of the both. 22.
So you said 10 years. How long in total have you been doing comedy?
22 years, 23 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Bravo.
Started at 98. Yeah.
Okay.
I went to see D.L. Hughley at the Orpheum in Memphis, and it was D.L., John Witherspoon, and a couple local people. And I was like, yeah, this is what I'm going to do.
What were you doing before then?
I was a manager at a Radio Shack, and after that, I worked at IRS. Mm. Yeah, I was a tax examiner.
That's a very random leap. Yeah. Did you have a degree in finance or something like that?
I went to school for business, accounting, stuff like that. Yeah. Okay. I was more corporate. I worked as a loan officer. Yeah, a lot of corporate stuff.
And then you were going to go to jail for tax evasion. What did you just tell me you were doing?
No. No. This was.
Yeah, I was like, this guy's everywhere.
No. This was like some years later. This was like 8 years later.
It's cleared up though, right?
You good?
Okay. All right. I don't want
to. Can we not hear this?
I was a salesperson. You know, worked in all my jobs were white shirt and tie. You know, sales and like, you know what I'm saying, office stuff. Yeah.
How was that? Being in sales, did you know? Okay, so I used to work in finance.
Okay,
my first job out of college was Wells Fargo commercial real estate.
Dope.
And I wanted to kill myself, like in the first maybe 3 months, because one, I was the only black person in my entire office. I was the youngest person in my entire office. No one really related to me. And then it was like three, I was so creative, but I just didn't know how to make money off of my creativity, right? And so at that time, I felt like, okay, you go to college, you graduate, you go to, you know, you work a 9-to-5, and then what? That was the question I always had every single day. It was like, what else? What else is there to life? Did you feel that way working as a loan officer?
I felt like, you know, I was young and articulate, and I was being put in position because the whites in my area wanted to elevate a black. And it's a job making white people feel good. You know what I'm saying? So, I enjoyed that for a long time, but I wasn't, the reason I switched all the way is because I wasn't getting to the upper echelon of how they elevate some blacks. You know, so I just wasn't getting up to that level. I was like, I'm not going to be a Trevor Noah. I'm not going to be a Kwame, whatever his name is. I'm not going to be that. I'm not going to get to that. I could see I wasn't going to get to that level. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I got to go back to my people and I got to get back to what I like and enjoy to do, you know, and to the blacks or whatever.
I thought you were talking about working at the.
So I kind of came like it went hand to hand. Doing white comedy and working corporate kind of went hand in hand for me. I was able to exist in both worlds. When I stopped working, like doing those kind of jobs and doing more urban stuff, it was kind of like graduating, coming away from that side.
Corporate. So from white people?
Yeah.
You didn't want to say that.
But now you're right next to one.
She's not white.
It's all full circle.
She ain't white. She mixed with something, right?
What, did your comedy... Your
not
comedy,
black.
Why you say it like that?
Yeah, really? Yeah.
It's like, hey, I know one thing.
Table full of brothers. Yeah, I ain't black, though.
I know one thing. I'm not black.
Hey, she said like happy though. It was like
Listen, I have no problem with black people. Yeah. My best friend is black.
And it's absolutely true. That's
my whole, this little show called Chocolate Sunday.
Yeah, you know.
I'm
not so chocolate anymore, but still.
All my friends are black. That's my best friend.
God, yeah. Did your comedy change when you stopped doing white rooms?
Yeah, it had to. I mean, well, I'm going to tell you exactly what happened. I was at this place called Mixed Nuts when I got out to L.A. I was at, and L.A. makes you choose. If you look at the white flyers, you'll see six whites and one black. They'll squeeze a black and then squeeze a woman in there. So you're competing for very few. I was like, oh, I'm a strong in mainstream. I could do whites. And then on the blacks, it's another competition. You have to hang out and network. Both genres requires you to hang out and network, not just go up. You can't just walk in and go up. Got to hang out and network, rub elbows, kiss ass.
Oh, that's interesting.
They do.
We'll get to that. Yes, so, I agree.
So,
are we talking about that?
So where are you going? Where are you going to put your time? So one night I was at Mixed Nuts. There's a black room down there. Went down there, and you know, Mixed Nuts, black folks, dick pussy, yell, emotion, being emotional, theatrical, you know. Black people want the emotion. They don't just care. They don't care about the jokes. They want to feel it. So I had a set at the Improv later that night on Melrose. Got some heroes, and I forgot to switch. I forgot to do the, like, oh, let me tone it down. Let me just say the words and be, you know what I'm saying? Let me do the Gerard Carmichael, just kind of be soft, and I would never hurt you. You know what I'm saying? I'm a soft-spoken black, and I would never harm anybody.
Did you tuck your shirt in too when you got on stage?
Okay, good. To do it. And I'm on stage going, doo, 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 you know, and I'm like, fuck. 6 minutes of the set and I'm not connecting. I'm like, oh shit, I'm still doing the black. God damn. So I mean, I kind of wrapped it up and got off stage and I was like, oh, I gotta make a choice. This is two different worlds that's requiring two totally different skill sets. Plus, I saw over the years, the people that chose one got further along. You know, like they sell to us when we first start. It's like, you should be able to play every room. Yeah, after you're famous, after you're, you know, selling tickets, then yeah, you'll draw different people from different places. But, you know, your core audience is going to come from either or. Mm-hmm. Because both of them require allegiance. White people require a level of allegiance. And black people require, every culture requires that they understand that you understand them.
Interesting. I never thought about that. So all the greats. So Dave started as a black.
He had to start somehow. I mean, I'm not sure what his. But he was like, when you see him do his interviews, he would say like, oh, over the years, I would look out and see more black people, and I would look out and see more white people. It depends on what projects he had coming out in different times. But each audience requires for you to come in front of them and tell their life to them.
Well, right. I get
you have
you
some
have
white
to
people
tailor.
That will come to black to see black comics, but. Mm-hmm. For the most part, the whites that come to see blacks that know white people. Those are not the blacks that are strong in front of blacks. Mm-hmm. I mean,
So the person two comics are coming to mind right now randomly, but one is Deion Cole.
Okay.
I feel like Deion Cole, his allegiance was to the black audience, right?
Yeah.
But then when he got ABC and Black-ish, that exposed him to a white audience.
Yeah.
And so that's probably why his audience
looks
away.
Who's buying it? Who's buying it? If you watch his special, we just gonna his last special.
Mm-hmm.
What did he film that special at? New York in front of who?
Brooklyn.
In front of who?
I think it was a black audience.
Yeah, it was black.
Yeah, black audience.
That's his audience.
Yeah. Oh, I see what you're saying.
But okay. So,
other comedian, though, Josh Johnson. You guys know who that is?
No. Mm-mm.
Okay. Well, then, I can't really. I feel, so he's a young, he's probably like 30, maybe 28, 30, okay, in that range. Black, started with a black audience, mm-hmm, but then did exactly what you're saying. I think just white people kind of gravitated to
Who pays money to see him? That's your audience. Not, mm-hmm, it's not who, like, when people say, when they talk to me about funny, I was like, who would you pay to see?
Who would you
when
pay to see?
When people come to me and go, I think, don't tell me who you think is funny. Tell me who you would pay to see.
Mm-hmm.
Because people can pontificate for hours on end about, oh, I think, who's the last person you paid to see?
Yeah.
Mm, that's a good question.
And now that I think about it, too, he was a writer on Trevor Noah's, like, The Daily Show.
Okay.
So they already kind of funneled him into that.
Yeah.
That paying audience.
And the whites have an infrastructure.
The whites.
Let me tell you about the white man.
No, I'm just saying.
Wait, can I say the black?
Cut that one out.
Yeah. The whites are great. They're a great steward of young black talent. Like they, they cultivate young black talent in a way that's like, oh, you're young and articulate. Oh, God. And they'll like, oh, we
got rally the improvs,
we got the funny bones, we got the heliums, we got the laugh, you know, we got these coasters, you know, you'll get booked and they'll kind of, until you get your feet and you kind of figure it out. The blacks don't necessarily have an infrastructure. It's more of a, you know what I'm saying, like, oh, we got the yucks over here and we got the chuckles right here and you can go do some one-nighters and some, you know what I'm saying, like it's a different thing.
You're talking about a circuit.
Yeah, mm-hmm, which you need to for money and for practice to get better so you can come to LA and you can start to, you know, get things right for yourself.
So are you saying as you start doing comedy, you're saying you have to decide if you want to be a comedian for black people or white people?
You gotta make a decision, yeah.
And you're saying you can't do both?
Hell no. I'm saying that, yes, hell no, you can't do both.
Interesting.
Not unless, no, hell no, you can't do hell no, hell no, hell no, hell no.
So yeah,
even the people I saw that got the mainstream push, they would frequently still kind of put their finger back in the black. They were still kind of like, oh, let me just check back with you blacks. But you know what I'm saying? They still were being pushed in a mainstream place.
Like pop into a black show.
Yeah, they're like, oh, okay. And then the blacks would respect them because the host was like, this guy just booked this. He just booked this and this. He's kind of giving the audience a preface. Like, this is a black that the whites like. You guys better respect him too. Or you know what it is.
We don't want no problem.
Yeah, and kind of that type of thing.
Interesting. So you said that you had to switch up so do you feel like you change your style?
I don't anymore. I used to. I used to have an LA set, and then I used to have a road set, and I had a road white set, and I had a road black set. So it was like three different sets. No, I don't change anything now.
Okay.
Except for when I do clean or dirty or whatever, you know, when I'm blue or different levels of blue. But I don't change anymore.
Where do you like to tour the most?
Me? What do I like to do most?
Or where do you like to tour the most? And that one too.
Yeah. Right now I'm in Atlanta because it's a lot of, I'm in down Atlanta because the blacks come out. They're not good listeners, but they do, like out here in LA. In LA, if you get.
Lonnie is dying and she wants to say the blacks.
So, yeah.
Come on, they just straight face. So,
I just keep thinking of the show, the Meet the Blacks. Every time you say that, am I allowed to say the show title?
Yeah.
No, so they come out. So like some cities, they don't come out. They come out every night. Like they're there every night. You can get in front of 60 or 70 people watching you. You know, at least listening. Out here, if you get 80 people in a room, you get 70 people in a room, you're gonna get bumped. The celebrities gonna, you know, somebody's gonna text somebody. You're gonna get. It's kind of hard to get. Those are showcases out here. So to still get those dead level consistent stage time without me, I don't sell tickets. You know, I mainly get booked by promoters who do sell tickets. I'm like, oh, you dope. You dope as fuck. The people I know would love you. Come play for those people. But I don't have a city where I can go to and I can pack an arena or I can pack a club or I can pack a theater.
Mm-hmm. Is that
because you're deleting your videos off social media? Why? You would sell tickets if you built your social media.
1000%. I think so. I was gonna ask, like,
you gotta post a flyer without your face. And that way, they'll like you more. I'm telling you.
I love my insanity.
Is the goal eventually to get to that stage in your career? Like, are you trying to push your career in that direction? Or,
I mean, for me,
where do you feel like you're at in terms
I
of goals?
My comedy is more like, you know, cocaine sells itself, you know.
Mm-hmm.
sells itself. Rolls Royces don't advertise. I feel like when my comedy gets to where it should be, and I'm speaking the level of truth I need to speak, then it's going to organically happen. You know what I'm saying? So that's kind of how I feel.
Mm-hmm. That is an interesting take that I think very few people have now.
My father was a crackhead, and he didn't give me much advice. He said,
Wait. Joe, why was that funny? This man is pouring his heart out. My father is a crackhead. Ha!
He was like, son, don't be a beggar. Mm-hmm. And I see today's, this is to further answer your question about the limited amount of material I put up stand-up. Like, I see where people post all the rest of the stuff you talk about. And they sell tickets, but you rarely see their stand-up. I'm showing you this is the steak. This is what you're going to see when you come to see me. Plus, I'm not a beggar. I refuse to post all day, share my opinions all day, you know, interact with you all day, then beg you to come to a show, then beg you to pay, and then beg you to enjoy it. I'm not doing that. If it's dope, you cannot earn love. Obviously, you don't love me. And let me just accept that and keep working on my craft until I can get people in front of me that do. But I will not accept a consolation success. You've been doing it so long, so here you. I want people in front of me that just, like, you, when you see me, I've had people hit my inbox that I touched in a way that was like, I'm bringing you to Oakland. Fuck it. How much is it? I need more of those people. You know what I'm saying? Those people like, oh, I see. Oh, I'm bringing you to, oh, God, how do I get you to, you know what I'm saying? How do, you know, cash at me $2,500. Cash at me whatever the deposit is. I need those people. I'm not trying to get the Wayfair, the fair weather, that one opinion you had on this one thing.
But see, the way I see it, I mean, I think you have an interesting take that not many people have anymore because of, you know, we talk about the social media and I talk about this all the time, how I feel like stand-up is dying because clubs are booking the people that can sell the tickets, right? Mm. Because they have a big social media following.
I don't think that's, okay.
To me, I think you need to do both, and that's the ultimate person that you want. Someone like a Kev on stage, a Ryan Davis, a Daphne. What?
So we brought you here, actually.
Yeah,
this is not a podcast.
Intervention.
Kev, come on out. Come on out.
After the show, we've actually set you up with a social media.
The van's outside. They'll take you to the
digital boot camp. Okay, you're going to spend 12 weeks.
I'm like one of those people on Hoarders. Like, no, I need that. That's my tissue.
That's all right.
I was going to say, I feel like when you were talking about begging, right?
Begging. I call it begging.
I was gonna say, what if you switch the word begging and you just change it to marketing?
Yeah,
it still sounds like begging to me.
I feel like it's some people out there.
I just told you, sales itself.
But you gotta put it on OnlyFans.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you can't tell. Like, if I can't see your Instagram, I'm not gonna want to fuck.
I'm just not touching you. And this is, but I don't. I just think I just don't believe that there's no longer a market for good. I think McDonald's has just sold so many burgers that people just want McDonald's. And I'm not,
but they still have commercials, though.
When I see, and everybody that does that isn't, like, I have a lot of friends that are comedian friends that are doing the eight posts a day. I know a lot of people that are doing what you guys are talking about. They're still not. So I would rather not and be getting it than be doing it and still not getting it. Like, dad, I would feel really shitty if I was on there begging people on every, like, you know what Deion Sanders did? Like, every day I'm posting a minute clip of the current trending topic. I'm ambulance chasing, and I'm still not getting it. Like, now I got a red nose on, and I'm like, come to my show. at least I have the integrity and the, you know what I'm saying? The,
At least it's pride. It's pride.
I'm a loser, but I'm mysterious.
I'm thinking of Kev on stage with the Mickey. Oh, yeah. My show in Orlando.
Hey, guys.
He's such a great marketer. He is a brilliant marketer.
Yeah.
Henry, yeah, you have pride.
It's your pride. Hey. It's your pride.
Because.
And that's okay.
That's okay.
Yeah. At least you know.
Yeah.
At least you know. Yeah. I get it.
I just think.
Just said, came on stage. Wow. Okay. No, I mean, the guy's great.
We love Kev. No, he is a marketing guru and he's hilarious. So he, to me, is like everything that you want out of a club.
For his and he knows his audience.
Not Chocolate Sundays, obviously. We don't use comedians to market, so we're kind of separate. But clubs that do, you know, have headliners and market, he's the type of ideal prize because he's hilarious and he'll sell tickets.
I worked at the comedy club when I first started and, you know, bussing tables and kind of doing, just kind of learning the business. And I remember the guys, and this maybe this is the in like buried in my soul of comedy, is that you would have these guys send the packages, and I would open the packages to the club. They would send these, and you had the guys whose packages were perfect.
What do you mean packages? Like
you have
like
you had send
like
the promo
a headshot.
Oh,
like
got you.
Oh, I thought like mysterious packages.
An 8-track.
Yeah, it would be like a VHS tape.
Okay.
And the club owner would watch
a record. How old are you?
She was like, it was
like one of those big movie films.
But this was the thing.
Henry, there's a pigeon outside for you.
You gotta get the message. You gotta hear the message. So the people that did it right would have a perfect headshot, perfect tape, everything queued up right, you know, the bio, everything set up, references. They would come there and they would suck every time. Every time. The person that had the most, you know, meticulous, proper package would every time they would suck. Never fail. And then you would get a package and it'll just be not even a return address. And then it'd just be a VHS, not, you know, guy would just scribble his name and, you know, you just throw it in for a couple seconds, come there and it would be hilarious. You know what I'm saying? It'd be like, and I understood that about myself. It's like people that know how to market are not the best artists and sometimes the better marketers. You know what I'm saying? It kind of works like that. So I give myself the right to be. Mm-hmm. You know, every time I met someone that was like, oh, you're great. I'm like, well, you know, just invest in me so I can pay the people that I'm not willing to learn that. I'm not. If you see that in me, then you invest in me and hire somebody to do that.
To do the marketing for me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't, then that's where the sales itself comes in. Then you just don't see that in me. So get away from me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
But well, why don't you hire someone to do it for you?
I don't have the money to do that.
Mm-hmm. I like the honesty. He was honest. He's like, I got the money.
And every chick I got to do it, we didn't stay together long enough. You know what I'm saying? Like once it got going, good,
searching for a really, wait. So you're saying you used to date girls intentionally, knowing that they would manage your social media?
I was a gigolo my whole 20s. So it was like, that's just,
wait, what?
I'm not surprised.
Rewind.
I'm not surprised. You work for the IRS.
Okay,
he's so one.
He has experience. It's not just.
You're missing what I'm putting down, brother. You're missing what
he
I'm
has
putting
a whole
down.
Game
it's not speculative. He knows.
He's like, literally talking. This is first hand knowledge. Yeah. Damn.
You were marketing the pussy.
You were the pimp.
Yeah.
You
what?
It didn't sell itself.
Yeah,
you were
say,
marketing
it. In your analogy that you're saying, there's a pimp in this situation that has to market.
I have pride
you don't
too
have to.
In that situation.
You don't have
I feel
to. Like. I tell young ladies, you know. When young girls be like walk around there loud, like say with a lot of guys in the room, and it'd be like three young ladies come in, they'd be loud. I was like, you don't have to be. Every man in this room that
knows your
buck already knows that, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Sells itself. You don't have to if I'm not selling myself. I've had the yeses. So I just believe I need
more of
those
yeses.
Yeses.
I understand.
But
what you're
in
saying.
That analogy, the women are in the room though with the men. They're getting put in front of the men.
Okay.
You're not even getting in the room.
Yeah, I feel like if someone says like, "Yo, I got some pussy lined up for you," how she look? I can't tell you that yet. It's like, I need to see how your pussy look.
I'm not even. Okay, that makes sense.
Just so that we can use this clip on TikTok, is there any other analogy that we can go with?
Coach, you said this.
Yeah. I don't know. We keep saying pussy. In my mind as a producer.
Cocaine.
I'm trying to cocaine. We can do cocaine.
Cocaine sells itself.
There we go.
What's
this whole conversation again?
Cocaine. What's a trendy drug?
How does cocaine make it better?
At what point? For some reason on TikTok, you can't say pussy. You can talk about cocaine.
Okay, so you can overdose. videos, but you can't talk about pussy.
That's more my mindset around things.
Yeah. What's the trending drug that we can hashtag?
Are we getting that low? Hey, what's the change? Joe, can you hashtag
just look up real quick.
Yeah.
That it looks Molly like
heroin.
Yeah. So you got more of an idea of what my backstory looks like or feels like.
Yeah.
Okay, I just met you. I'm going to tell you what I've got so far.
Okay.
So you started at Radio Shack, humble beginnings. Okay.
Jeez. Humble beginnings.
Worked your way out of the trap because your dad was a crackhead.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
Joel still thinks that's hilarious.
Joel. The whites.
Okay.
Yeah. Look at the blacks coming out of poverty.
You made it. Okay.
And where did you grow up?
Travel. Some in LA, some in the Bay Area, and some in Memphis, Tennessee.
Okay,
so Radio Shack, and then from Radio Shack, you were like, nah, this ain't it, and you became a pimp.
No,
he was in corporate America.
I did sales. Radio Shack.
No, he said in his 20s.
RS. No. So we can move to that. So my daughter, 21, 22, started doing comedy full-time. About 22 to about 24,
25. Oh, okay. Then so that's early. That's early success.
Yeah. I mean, it was easy early on before the reality shows and social media. You could actually work as a comedian. You could just, you could do the Sinbad or whatever, where you could just crisscross country, stop at a club, go, hey, I'm a comedian. They'll give you 5 or 6 minutes, and they will book you back the next week or the following week for $500 or $600. I mean,
that's good money.
More.
Yeah.
But there was a time when you could just be like, oh, I'm gonna be a comedian, just leave. And when I started, you had to leave. Like the club owners would say, we don't want to see you. They would make you go away. Like, we don't want to see you no more than twice a month.
And at this point, you're living in Memphis. Gotcha.
Yeah, so it's like, we don't want to see you. If we see you two times or three, then we know you're not working. We know you're not getting better. So like in my home club, they was like, every time you come back, you had to come back with a fresh 5 minutes or fresh,
Wow.
To even be able to get up, you have to.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's
you
different.
You were like, now it's more accepting, just kind of stay local, play the same 5 clubs, hang out, be at the same places. They really didn't let us do that back then. So then I ended up coming to LA, and that's when I didn't know I was an attractive guy until I got to LA. Mm-hmm. I didn't know.
Not according to Instagram.
You said,
they're hating on you.
I was younger, so
they are haters.
This is like, so in Memphis, a man, if you're an artist, you're a loser. Period. Like when you leave LA, women gauge you off of house, car, job, saying those regular things like where you work at, what's your status at your job,
what's your trajectory?
Yeah, okay. Life, period. When you get out here, women kind of more, they'll buy into the possibility. This is one of the only cities you can go and be like, yeah, I'm working on something, and won't be like, oh, that's cool. Cause it's just like a real artistic vibe. So I got out here and man, it's just, ooh. Things just went in a different direction.
Which direction did that go?
South.
The floor is yours.
So I got out here and I was like, I was PAing, doing background work, hustling, doing comedy every night. And, it's like, just kind of like start flirting with a lot of, start getting way more women than I ever thought I would. Like, I just started getting a lot of chicks. And I was like, damn, I was getting all these chicks. And a lot of them wanted to spend time with me. Like, a lot of them, I was like, but I got a fucking PA. I'm on set every day, 14 hours, and I'm trying to do comedy. I didn't have time. So one day, this lady was like, she was like, yeah, how much do you make at what you do? I was like, I make about $200 a day. She was like, well, if you spend this time with me, I'll give you this amount. So that was like, once she did that, I was like, oh, fuck. Like,
how old? Was she older? She was like
23. She might have been 33, 34. I never went more than 10 years old. So
a little sugar baby situation.
Yeah. So okay. that started jumping off. Like it was like to where, but it was like, it could kind of get, living like that can kind of get, it can kind of, you get entitled and you start to, at first you feel appreciative and then you get to the point you like, where's my money at? Like, you know what I'm saying? You can get to that place. I see.
Yeah.
You have to police yourself. And the reason I quit in my early 30s was like, because I knew older comedians, or I knew older artists that were still living like that,
Is this a thing in the comedic community?
It's a thing.
I haven't been a part of it yet.
Rich wants to be referred.
What?
Rich wants
to be referred.
Do you
have any old clients that need any services?
Yeah, anybody?
No, I mean, it's a I know art.
I'll go all the way up to 60.
A lot of artistic dudes or creative men end up with women that work in corporate, like corporate women, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Or like women at high earners. And, you know, you kind of have to know how to, you know, navigate that relationship. Hmm. But like, you know, very logical women enjoy creative men.
That makes sense. Why do you think that is?
It's just a stress relief. And then the men, because I always wondered why they would be, and then I quickly understood, like, the men that they like don't like them. You know what I'm saying? Like women have this idea that if she's an alpha woman, like a woman that kind of runs the shit, right? She's the boss at her job. She does all this stuff. She's very empowered in her life. She's got an ego. That lady is arrogant. The man that she would like to present to the world is also arrogant. Two arrogant people aren't going to, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, whereas I would listen because I ain't got shit. So I'm just telling the truth.
Yeah, I get
so
that.
I'm you know, I'm a male, but I'm still being like the softer one, you know, mm-hmm. in the relationship. Yeah. So, and that was kind of like, you know, that's kind of how it was like. I would tolerate a lot more shit than what the man she would want would at that point.
Got you. Gotcha.
At that point in my life.
The honesty is incredible.
Oh, yeah. No, I've done it a few times. Like, yeah. You just tolerate
that's
shit.
Just like your comedy. You're very honest in your comedy. That's why people like you.
No, I try to tell the truth, but I have my limits. I don't want to be hurtful. I try, because you can be brutally honest to the point where it's just like, oh, this is ridiculous. Like, mm-hmm. So I have pulled myself.
Because people still come out to have a good time.
Yeah, and I have to remember that.
that you're not a therapist.
No, I'm not a therapist. And people want to enjoy themselves, and they will enjoy themselves with or without me. You know what I'm saying? Like they'll just blink out, and just black people will break into conversation. They'll just, you know, they get their drinks, mm-hmm. and you saying something that's just way, it might be true, but you've hit a place where I've seen audiences just clock out on me like, nigga, all right, we get it, you right, but I didn't feel like hearing this shit tonight. And you know what I'm saying? So I have to kind of like, okay, how much can they? I told a comic one time, I was like, it's not what I'm saying, it's what I'm not saying. So when I walk on stage, when you see me pause, you're seeing me making sure I don't say the shit, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm thinking worse stuff than I'm saying. So I'm like, so how do I pit and parcel this stuff to give them what they can digest?
That's great.
Yeah, that's the part. So selling dick, that's what I was talking about.
sum everything up.
Yeah, I did that for a while, man. And mm-hmm. It was kind of, my comedy was suffering because, like, I was with chicks every day. So you got 8-9 chicks, and every day they're going, you got to go out tonight again? You got to go out tonight again? You just rest tonight. You out? And you got 7 people saying that. Pretty soon you're not performing at all. So I was like, I gotta get a rein on this and kind of get this together.
No, you're performing, just on a different stage.
You're killing it.
It's not a you know, with the women, it's when you like involve with women, because I knew female prostitutes when I was doing it, right? And they worked, when I talked to them.
Sorry, you're making a lot of, like, big leaps in conversations.
and you just skip past, like, you didn't just say what you just said. Like, so,
nah, like,
I killed 3 people, but besides that.
Wait, okay. How? Like, explain.
What? Why?
You just say it's okay, and then just keep talking.
This is a circle you traveling in.
But I'm saying, yeah. You came from Memphis.
From Radio Shack.
LA. Yeah, from Radio Shack.
But LA, you got to understand, LA.
Yeah. This Memphis, is a big leap.
Now, in Memphis, okay. Your vices, you have to find your vices. If you like, whatever it is you have to go there and then go to that neighborhood and find that.
Okay.
LA's not like that. You know, you can walk up Sunset and get, within 10 minutes, be in touch with everything you enjoy. Mm-hmm. If you know the energy and you know who hand to shake and who to look at, you can, it's not like that. So mm-hmm. when I make these leaps, it wasn't hard being out here. These people are just like right there, right there, right there, right there. So when I talk to women that were dealing with men and how they moved, and I got advice from them about how they moved, is that men are very, when they're working with sex workers or whatever, they're very, they're like, oh, here's the money. Where's the, you know, you know, it's a clean exchange.
Transactional.
Yeah. Well, women, they want a friend. They want a man, you know, they want to talk.
Yeah.
They want the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Even if they weren't married or they had a boyfriend or whatever, they still don't want to just feel like it's.
They don't want it to be transactional.
They want the cold. They want that fantasy.
Yeah. They want the feelings. And that was more of a price and a wear on tear of me than the actual sex itself. You know, a lot of times when you don't know how much you're paying too much. And the emotional debt of that process was just like, you know, coming out of it was like getting, it was like I lost my mind for maybe 6 or 7 years. And I wasn't talking about it on stage. I was living this life. And on stage, I'm just up there telling regular jokes. I'm not up there like, yeah, I'm selling, I sold dick today. And this bitch, this hoe got me stressed out.
She was cool.
You know what I'm saying? And she didn't put the money in the thing she said she was going to do. And
yeah.
So, like, it was like, wow. Then I came out of the lifestyle and I kind of started, I was like, I could feel my mind coming back to me. Like,
wow.
Like, oh. It was just like, yeah, it was like a real thing. But I saw dudes that were still, you know, I'm not going to name their names, but I saw comedians that were still living like that, you know, cursing chicks out. I thought you said on the phone, upset. Like, it, because women can be very, when a woman is, like, when a woman says she's going to give you something, you'll never just get it. They're going to push all of your buttons until they, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, bitch, won't you just got that? I thought you said.
Well, what's the point of paying your bills if we can't push the buttons? Isn't that the point? I'm just asking. I've never done it. I'm just But it's a give and take. Right?
Yeah, so, men don't do that.
Then they don't empower you. They don't make you enter independent. They just make you. They don't make you independent. They make you.
They'll make you codependent?
Yeah, they're only gonna give you enough. If you need 10,000 for freedom and she got a million, she's still only gonna give you 2,000.
Mm.
You know, cause she wants the control. She don't want, you know, you go, oh baby, all I need is this. I wanna do a internet package to make all my content go viral. I need 10,000 for World Star, I need 2,000 for the Shade Room, I need da 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 da. You give her a pen, then now I'm famous. And this is how much fame costs, babe. And she could have the 50 grand for the fame. And, you know, I'm going to give you $1,000 Monday, and I can see if I can, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's how she's going to.
This is fascinating to me.
I know.
Because, like, I think the way I was raised was, it was just different. Mm. You know what I mean? To where I would never, there's just like how you feel begging on stage, like for people to come to your comedy show.
I begged in that lifestyle for a long time. I refused.
That's like,
now I don't let women do anything for me. Like, I don't, see, I wouldn't
maybe
dare.
Maybe a therapist would say that your experience with women is making you feel like social media is begging.
Interesting. Is social media the trauma?
The woman? Is that the trauma?
I'm seeing some thematic sides here.
Yeah, I'll tell you what the fuck I'm not going to do.
I ain't going to bang.
This dick ain't free. You tell Bernice, I said. Instagram.
Damn, Henry. Interesting.
Henry, I'm just saying this. I'm going to speak for myself. I think that the game is changing where social media matters so much. You are too talented to not get booked. Yep. And like I said, I think if you can do both,
book
you're the complete package.
Book more than what you're already getting booked.
Yes. Yeah.
Book more than
what you're already getting booked. I got some stuff lined up as far as pushing my career forward that's going to put me on a platform. I think if I can get some kind of way, get to 100,000 or get some momentum behind me without a lot of the low-level begging, then I'll put more content up.
Yeah, I mean, I think maybe you just need to do content that's you.
Yeah,
I think maybe you feel like you've been trying to do all these other things that other comedians are doing, the side-by-sides or whatever, the backdrop green screen stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But just find content that's more you.
That's been a process, like trying to, okay, what can I post that I feel good about posting and that I won't delete?
Yeah. But also, I feel like the way you are, though, like if you're already getting flagged, it's like he can't really be himself. If you're talking, you know what I'm saying? If you're already getting flagged for like guidelines or whatnot, and he's talking like how his comedy is, they probably gonna do
there's
like
a way.
That he's
a
there's
talent.
A way. There's always a
there's
way.
There's always a way. Yeah. We were talking to Isaiah Kelly about this, two weeks ago.
Yeah.
Similar situation, but he was just like, I don't really know what I would post. I kind of post stand up clips and like pictures of me and stuff like that. And one of the things that he was telling us a story about was how he's always in the comments with people that argue with him, and he has time to argue with people that are arguing with him online. Okay. And we were like, well, if you already enjoy doing that and you're already spending time doing that, why don't you just record yourself responding to the haters?
Yeah.
That in itself is content
the hater responses.
And people will find that funny. You're already doing it anyway, so you're just filming yourself and putting it out there.
Yeah.
And I hope to God, Isaiah, you do it. But
I
think it's finding something that is molded to...
Yeah, that's been a, I know I need to, you know, I'm going to say this to you. Yeah, I'm working on that.
Okay.
That's why I showed up here. It's like, okay, I don't necessarily have my own platform, but I do, like, if I'm invited, show up and get on other people's platform.
Yeah. Well, any way we can help.
Are you gonna be there on the 18th? You gonna be on the 18th? I think I'm at.
Is that
no? The that's show? Just the charity show we're doing. Yeah.
Is it
no.
Chocolate Sundays?
Yeah, like a 5 p.m. show. Oh. But he'll be here. He's doing that. All the shows. Yeah, yeah. He'll be at the 7 and 9:30.
I'll pull up for sure. Brandon, you have any questions?
No, I think I'm good. I learned a lot, so I just feel like
it was a good conversation. I mean, from Radio Shack to IRS to prostitutes. He's an interesting man, I will admit that. I can't wait to see what the next 10 years happens. Like, yeah, but I do think you should post more because, like, you said you performed in front of like 70 people, but the internet, it could be 70,000 people. Yeah. So it was like a cheat code.
It was crazy watching that. And I'll tell this before I go. It's like, it was crazy when I first started. Every week you would have like new comedians would come in to the show. Like you have open mic, and every week you have like one or two new comics. And when you came in new, you had to bring about 30. You had to bring 30 people to the club and make you bring 30 people. And those people would they would go up. They walk. The new comics would walk past us. And oh, I got my people here, and they would go up and crush, and they wouldn't even talk to the rest of the comics. They wouldn't talk to us. It's like, oh, we already know how to do this. You know what I'm saying? You guys suck. I'm great. And we'd be like, okay, well, let's wait till next week, and you come back, and nobody here is here to see you. And that same comic, a couple weeks, was come back, and nobody there was to see them. It would just be strangers, and they would bum. Mm-hmm. And then they would come up with questions in a notebook. I'm like, how do I do this and all that? But social media has made it to where that never happened. Like that next week, like those people never get in front of people that don't already love them. You know what I'm saying? Like every week, every night, they're in front of them. I was like, fuck. So I was like, yeah, I need to some kind of way figure out how to share my opinion without sounding like a hater and without being so sinister. Mm-hmm. Because the internet is like a care bear. It's like everything's good, everything's great. You know what I'm saying?
It is.
And my point of view is more like, some of this shit ain't, you know.
And it's needed. That point of view is so needed.
Yeah.
It's refreshing.
Yeah. But I don't every time I've seen that happen to a comedian in comedy, that straight shooter, they end up kind of taking the bullet for the culture. And their career pays the price. Mm-hmm. That guy that comes along and go, hey, you guys, this is not really supposed to be like that. It's like the other comics like, thanks for saying that, but you don't book them. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And that person, you know, dies or gets sick or whatever, and they just, you know, they don't get their role. And we share their shit after they dead, but they never, you know, mm-hmm. I know so many comics who's like, hey, stood up, was like, hey, this ain't supposed to be like this. And you end up being the guy that's not even thought of being funny. You just got into saying how shit should be. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right, but if you're not funny, you're not right. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I was like, I'm going to shut up. Instead of being the guy going, hey, this shit shouldn't be like this, I'm just going to shut the fuck up, and when you see me, you're going to see what? Me being funny. Mm-hmm. So I kind of took myself out of that. Like, if I don't have shit to good to say, and some days I don't, then I'm just not going to say it. I'm just not going
to
say
it. Yeah. If you ain't got nothing nice to say, don't say it.
I ain't got shit to good to say. Yeah. So I'm like, why? Yeah. Why am I going to be the grouch, the Oscar the grouch every day on the internet? And it's like, it's just...
Yeah.
You know.
I feel you. Any advice for young comics coming up?
I mean, no.
Fuck them, huh?
No, not that. not that. not that at all. I haven't been successful in this genre and this new age, so I wouldn't know anything to tell them to be. They seem to be doing great. Just, you know, you would ask Big J, ask Kev on stage. That would be the person to ask, you know what I'm saying? And like, if you want to find out how to be a true, I'm a purist when it comes to stand-up, then yeah, come to me. But that doesn't, you know, there's no.
Well, so what advice would you give a comedian that wants to be a purist?
Wants to be a purist? Shit. Man, just tell the truth and try to make it funny. That's it. Just, you know, just try to find your truth. That's it. That's it.
Hmm. Nice right there.
Yeah.
we ended it nice, I felt like. This is, Oh, shit.
It's 2 o'clock. That went by extremely fast.
I know.
Wow.
Yeah, you got a lot of new information.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, goddamn. Okay. I have like a couple more questions, but
yeah.
What time did we?
Just 2:15? Like
2:10. 2:10? Like, okay, yeah. For sure. When. If you weren't doing comedy, mm-hmm. what would you be doing? And then slash, what's like a secret like talent or hidden talent besides, you know, prostituting that you have?
If I wasn't doing comedy,
yeah.
I would just be a warehouse manager. Hmm.
Why warehouse manager?
Because you don't have to talk to people. You know what I'm saying? Just somewhere.
This is so random.
You really like people. That's what I'm gathering. You love
shit.
People.
You don't see shit coming, really. No,
it's because I'm good at organizing stuff, and I just kind of like
in an OCD way.
Yeah, like okay. I'm just like I'm a. I was raised like my mother really didn't think I was an artist at all, and she just thought boys were dumb. So she was like, "Oh, you just make sure you get a truck, and you know, you gotta do brakes." Like it was just like she just didn't see.
Just did maintenance.
So I was raised like real, like, you know, stack bricks type, you know what I'm saying? Like,
okay.
So I approached this art. I ain't know, like, Run G had to talk to me. Like, no, this is a different thing. Like, I'm just a straight shooter, just like a mechanic type thing. But I'm a comedian. So yeah, that's it. That's what I would be. I know how to work on cars. Yeah.
Is that how you kind of pass your free time? Like, is that your hobby, you would say? Like working on cars, fixing up cars?
Yeah, working with my hands and doing stuff that doesn't require me to communicate with people. I like to build stuff. I like to, yeah.
Because he's going to retire as a mortician. I don't want to talk to nobody.
Yeah, like,
I just want quiet.
Look at all these dead bodies.
I want it quiet in the workhouse.
I like silence. I like silence.
So would you say that that's your genius? Because I found the, like, great comedians. Mm. Everybody, all great comedians have that genius that they've then channeled into their comedy. So would you say it's like, is that kind of the thing, like your organizational?
My genius is making very, very complicated things simple. It's just kind of boiling it down to like the, and to let you know, I'm not the worst of who I am. Like when I come out here,
I'm not
somebody else with you.
There's a whole village of y'all.
Everybody gets mad about like Kevin Samuels, how he was, or
he spoke truth.
Charleston White or whoever these people are, or Bootsy. But where I'm from, that's everybody. Like the reason I wasn't shocked when I heard those things is because that's everybody I'm around. Everybody I'm around is that, you know, talks worse than me. Like they look at me like I'm soft. So when I come out here and I go on stage, they're like, what? You know, everybody's like, oh, crap. Like, no, you should talk to the people that I talk to that are telling me I'm soft. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, yeah, that's kind of it.
Gotcha. Okay. And then, you have any? We're good. Okay. Last, this is like our question we always ask all the comics is, but how do you want to be remembered?
How do I want to be remembered? Oh, that's a good ass question. How do I want to be remembered, man? Just somebody who did it right. Somebody who did it right and tried their best. That's it. How do I want? I really don't. To tell you the truth, I really don't give a fuck about being remembered. I'll probably, you know, I'm thinking.
You gave the most passionate answer starting off.
I think I'd be dead at that point. I just say, if I pass away, God, hopefully I don't. I hope my death makes it to TMZ. That's all I want. Because that's how we do in comedy. Like, the comedians we didn't really like, is like one or two people share it. And the ones we really like, it makes it to TMZ. So as long as, like, my death makes it to TMZ,
okay,
I feel fine.
That's good.
You want your face on there? Or it's just a blank face. Yeah, here we go, man. We're not going to post his face at all.
Okay. Yeah. Awesome. Any specials coming up? Anything like you want to promote for people at the house?
I don't know if I can say it. I got some stuff. I don't know if I can really put it out there yet. I'm gonna wait to see. But I suppose they have some big stuff coming up.
Yeah. Are we looking 2023, 2024?
2023. Okay. Projects coming up. Yeah.
Yeah. Can you TV come? Like,
yeah, it's supposed to be TV. So yeah.
Acting?
No, stand up.
Do you act?
Yeah, I act. And that's the crazy part too, is I shot so many people invited me to shoot shit, and I shot so many supposed to be specials and stuff during the little pandemic, and none of it ever got, nobody ever put it on any platforms. I shot a couple, maybe four or five different projects that never really, I was like, and I got paid for it too, that I never really went anywhere. So we'll see.
Does anybody tell you you look like 21 Savage?
Do I?
Do you get that?
Make sure.
Yeah, I think you kind of sound like him to your voice.
I see it now.
21 Savage?
You should be him for Halloween one year.
With I the can tattoos. See it now.
Okay, I kind of see it now. Yeah, I got it. Okay. Like his dad or something. 42 Savage.
Wow. 22.
Just 21. Like, your voice kind of sounds like
bruh,
him.
Bruh, I could see it.
Yeah.
I could see it.
You've never been told that before?
No.
Oh.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it now.
Do you know what
he looks like? I was told.
You know what 21?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I was told Denzel Washington, but no, not Denzel.
I don't know. What year?
Not Denzel.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I was just told Denzel last week.
Who told you that?
That's one of your ladies.
It was a white man, to tell you.
Oh, there you go.
Well, yeah, that's fine. They think every black man.
He was a white.
Like, the whites think every black man. That's like
the white.
I could see 21 for okay. sure. Some yeah. sketches for so, sure.
Some 21 Savage sketches. I got to learn his raps and stuff.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah, I can see
okay,
that.
I'm going to make it happen.
Awesome.
Is that everybody?
Yeah.
Okay,
well,
cool.
Thank you for swinging by.
Thank
can you,
you
thank
so much.
Just
thank
to this camera where everyone can find you on social media. If you want, I don't know. If you want to tell them,
Henry Coleman
media.
On YouTube, Henry Coleman, henry.coleman.773 on Instagram, and then just Henry Coleman on Facebook. That's it. Yeah.
Amazing. Great. This has been another episode of the Sunday Scoop. We'll see you soon. Peace.
Appreciate it.